The other girls, they've been boy crazy forever. They fall in and out of love like it's nothing. But you? Jenna, I know you. Tonight was a big deal. And I just don't want to see you really fall for him, only to have your heart broken. You can never truly be together. This is all just supposed to be fun. Please don't lose sight of that. It had been a long time since Tessa and I had a sister moment of any kind. She had been resentful of my change in colleges, even more so when Daddy forced her and the others to follow me. When she wrapped her arms around me, it took every ounce of willpower not to hold on and cry at the truth in her words. "I'll be careful," I promised, with as much conviction as I could muster. When she left the room, I found solace in my pillow and cried myself to sleep. Chase was mine. My heart already belonged to him, and it wasn't just the bond. I couldn't believe that. It was him, Chase Weston, so confident and cocky on the outside, but a closet nerd, gamer, and romantic, fiercely loyal to those he cared about. He had already stolen my heart. I loved him, but I also knew I could never have him. Not in the way I so desperately wanted. The next morning felt like a hangover. A Chase hangover, I thought. I got up and checked myself in the mirror. I had mascara streaks down my face from where I had forgotten to wash my face. I was a hot mess. Heading straight for the shower, I was again grateful I didn't have to share a bathroom. Most of the rooms had a conjoined shower. Two rooms shared one. The original sorority that built the place had two people per room with four people that would share a bathroom. We didn't have enough members in our elite group for that, so everyone got their own room. Two had private baths. As princesses, those were assigned to me and Tessa. I didn't always appreciate the perks of being a princess. They set me apart from the others, an outsider. But in this case, I was eternally grateful. Feeling almost human again, well, as human as a shifter can feel, after my shower and fresh clothes, I grabbed my phone to check the time. Stunned, I saw it was already after 1 o'clock. I checked my texts, but hadn't missed anything. I messaged Chase. "Jenna, I slept in, grabbing some lunch. Still on for two?" Within seconds, my phone dinged. "Chase, what's for lunch?" I smiled to myself. "Jenna, grabbing something at the cafe?" "Chase, see you in 5? "Jenna, okay." My heart raced with anticipation. I hadn't planned on seeing him outside of the library. Speeding up departure, I practically plowed over Anita on my way out of the door. "Oh, hey," I said in surprise. "Where are you off to in such a hurry?" "Study group at 2, and I need to grab some lunch first." "Oh, what study group?" "Calculus," I said, without even thinking she was in the class too. She perked up immediately. "I'm really struggling with a couple of the questions on the practice test he gave us. Can I tag along?" There was no way I could say no. "Sure." We headed over to the cafe. Chase was already there waiting, and Matt Williams was with him. I looked at him curiously. Anita squealed happily when she saw him. Anita hugged him, and he kissed her right there in front of everyone as they went off to find food. "Sorry," Chase said. "I didn't know Matt was struggling with calculus when he asked my plans for the day. I told him I had a calculus study group at the library, so he invited himself along." I threw my head back and laughed. "Anita's crashing, too. Same exact scenario." He grinned. "Guess we suck at sneaking around." "Guess so. Come on. Let's grab some lunch at least. I'm starving. And my treat. No arguments." I didn't want him wasting his money on me. I knew how tight budgets were for college students. Money had never been an issue for me. My father was wealthy and I was raised with every advantage. But I didn't want to bruise his pride by saying no. I vowed to discuss it with him later. I picked up a tuna sandwich, some chips, and grabbed a water. Chase looked at my meager lunch and added a fruit bowl and side salad to it. "You expect me to eat all of this?" I asked him, even knowing I could polish that off and then some. I was starving.
"Yes, I do,"
he said definitively, and that was when I noticed the heaping pile of food he had on his own tray. I shook my head. "Wolves." He grinned and pulled out a black Amex card to pay. It was crystal clear I didn't know as much about Chase Weston as I thought. The girl at the register glared at me behind his back.
Thanks, Kelly.
He called over his shoulder. I sped up to keep up with him. You totally slept with her, I accused before I could stop myself. He turned to look at me in surprise.
Why would you say that? And it was a long time ago,
I laughed. She's clearly not over it, though, from the glares she was giving me. He cringed.
She was one of the clingy ones. Nice girl, but definitely not the girl for me.
The smoldering look he gave me made me blush. We joined Anita and Matt at the table. I immediately noticed Matt's plate was piled high, too, while Anita had a small chef salad. Her eyes widened at the amount of food on my tray. We were large cats, so our appetites probably rivaled the boys on most days. However, as ladies, we did not show that to the opposite sex, especially guys we liked. I don't know if it was the human television influence that caused us to hide it or what, but all the girls did. Those that dated would practically starve themselves, then come home and ravish an entire turkey. I happily ate my lunch, grateful for the bit of extra food, but still hungry when I was done. I hadn't eaten breakfast, which made it worse. I'm not sure how Chase knew, but as we talked, he casually dropped a slice of pizza on my tray. I tried to ignore it, but the longer we sat there, the more it taunted me. After I ate that, he shared half his fries, and then a full slice of cheesecake. I sighed contentedly as I polished off the last bite. When I looked up, Matt hadn't seemed to notice, but Anita stared in envy at my now empty plate. On the walk to the library, Anita held back and pulled me with her. The guys talked as they walked ahead. "I can't believe you ate all that food in front of them," she scolded. "I was starving. I slept through breakfast." "You put way more food on your tray than you normally eat in public," she pointed out. "I didn't. Chase added some of it," I confessed. "And then he just kept giving you his, too?" I shrugged. "Wolves have, like, super hearing or something, you know? He probably heard my stomach still grumbling, and for sure they're listening in on this conversation," I pointed out realistically. Chase laughed, confirming my suspicions.
"If you were hungry, why didn't you just eat?"
Matt asked Anita, as the guys waited for us to catch up.
"I may not put away quite as much as a wolf, but Chase knows we eat almost as much as they do. I may not be black, but still the same species. Remember?"
"Why do you guys do that?"
Chase asked. "Do what?" Anita asked innocently.
"Pretend like you don't actually eat. Buy a small salad and swear it's enough. That's such a human thing to do. We're animals. We eat. And our metabolisms require much more food than an average human. So why bother hiding it?"
Anita and I both shrugged. "It's a girl thing. You wouldn't understand," she finally said. The guys shook their heads, but dropped it. We reached the library and settled into a study room on one of the upper floors. "Who else are we expecting?" Anita asked.
"Huh?"
I asked.
"You said it was a study group? How many more are we expecting?"
My eyes flashed to Chase's for help.
"The other two texted earlier and couldn't make it. So it's just us."
He lied without even flinching.
"Oh, well, I guess it's a good thing I tagged along or you'd be stuck here with just these two," Anita said.
"Good thing," I agreed. We opened our books and got down to work. Chase took the lead and walked through several problems, answering all our questions.
"Wait up. So you're like some kind of math whiz?"
Anita asked.
Matt laughed. "Shh, it's his biggest secret. He's a closet genius."
I was pretty certain I was his biggest secret, but I'm sure that was a close second. Chase shrugged.
"No one will believe you if you try and tell anyone."
She looked confused. I was too, if I were being honest.
"Why would you care if people knew you were smart?" Anita asked.
"Not a match with his reputation around campus. Nerds don't get laid," Matt said.
I had to bite back a hiss. My panther did not like hearing about Chase's reputation with the ladies. Neither did I. I was still stewing about it an hour later when we took a break. Matt and Anita disappeared quickly, leaving Chase and me alone in the room.
"Hey, are you okay?"
Chase asked me. I nodded and pretended to study the question we had just gone over. I hated feeling jealous of the girls he'd been with before me. I knew it wasn't rational, but that didn't stop the hurt and disappointment every time it was mentioned. He reached over and took my pencil, and I looked up at him. He relaxed and smiled. Better. Give me back my pencil, Chase, I said sternly. I'm still trying to work out the last of this problem. His smile faltered, and I saw uncertainty for the first time. Chase was always larger than life and so sure of himself, always in control. Worry consumed me. What was wrong? I couldn't stop my hand from reaching out to him. I stroked his arm reassuringly. Are you okay? I asked him. He shrugged. You feel off today. I don't know how to describe it. He toyed with the ends of my hair. Are we okay, Jenna? Did I do or say something to upset you?
My heart cracked a little more. No, no. I'm fine, I rambled. It's stupid, but...
Yeah, we're fine. It's not your concern, I promise. He stared deep into my eyes. You're my mate. Everything that concerns you is my problem, too.
I smiled and let go of my frustration. Sometimes, I just get a little jealous. I can't even seem to help it. No matter how stupid it is, my panther,
I blushed furiously at my admittance,
doesn't like seeing you with other females, or talking to other females, or mentioning anything between you and other females, even before we came into the picture. I'm sorry. I'm trying to keep it in check.
Matt,
he cursed under his breath. I laughed. It's not his fault. It really is me.
Listen to me, beautiful. While I can say a million times a day that you have nothing to be jealous of, I am 100% yours. I do get it.
His cocky grin was back.
I won't lie. I love knowing you're jealous.
I smacked him. Chase! I scolded. He laughed.
I'm serious. It lets me know you really do care. I feel so damn much it's overwhelming at times. I struggle even having Matt in the same room with you, and he's one of my best friends.
He was so open and honest. I made a point to remember that in the future and talk to him instead of letting things fester. I wasn't used to having someone I could trust with all my thoughts or my heart. My heart pounded as he leaned in and kissed me, deepening it quickly. My breath hitched and I pulled back, looking around. We were alone in the room, but one wall was entirely open to the main library. People will see. We can't, I reminded him. When his dimples flashed at me, I knew he was either up to no good or knew something I didn't know. In this case, I supposed it turned out to be a little of both.
Never noticed how they're mirrored on the other side? We can see out, but others can't see in. It's why I reserve this particular level for us.
He wrapped one arm around my waist and the other under my legs and lifted me easily out of my chair and settled me into his lap. I yelped in surprise. Matt and Anita could still return at any time, I reminded him, then stop talking, and let me kiss you before they do. I liked his logic, and we were soon lost in our own world. My chest was heaving and my body was tingling all over when he again surprised me, by dumping me back into my chair and walking to the other side of the table. Hurt and confused, I looked at him in disbelief, but he just winked and blew me a kiss. He started talking aloud and pointing out the problem I had been focusing on earlier, seconds before the door opened, and Matt and Anita returned. I looked at him in shock, my cheeks warming, and he just smiled back and casually pointed to his ears. I burst out laughing.
What's so funny? Anita asked.
I finally understand what Chase was trying to say. It wasn't even a real lie. I may have been insinuating to her it was regarding our practice quiz question, but he got it. He high-fived me and said,
"That's my girl."
I glared at him, warning he was taking it too far, but he turned to the whiteboard behind him and scribbled down the last of the problems. To my surprise, I really did get it. The part I had been struggling with somehow clicked right at that moment. When I was no longer flustered from Chase's complete 180 on me, I tuned in to my friend,
Her cheeks were flushed, and her hair was slightly askew. I suspected they'd been making out in the stacks. As if confirming my suspicions, they couldn't stop making eyes at each other, and barely a half hour passed before they both made excuses to leave. They left separately, but the moment the door closed behind Matt, Chase grabbed my hand and pulled me over to the window. We pressed our cheeks against the cool glass and watched. Sure enough, Anita was waiting for him at the first stack of books. I laughed. "Do you think we suck that badly trying to sneak around? I mean, they were so obvious." He shrugged. "We haven't put that much effort into hiding it yet." Horrified, I realized he was right. That stupid challenge definitely had helped with that, somewhat. Now that it's over, we're going to have to be extra careful. If any of my sisters found out, they'd tell Daddy, and then he'd have me on a plane out of here in 30 minutes flat. Sadly, I wasn't exaggerating. I could feel waves of anger rolling off Chase. I knew if it came to that, he wouldn't let me go without a fight. I had not yet allowed myself to consider that situation. When it came down to it, would I follow my family or do anything it took to stay with my mate?
"What do you mean the challenge is over? Who? When? It sure as hell wasn't me."
I tried to hide back the smirk. "Matt and Anita at your house Saturday night."
"Seriously? I mean, I knew they disappeared, but you said home plate and nothing less."
"Yep. And she had to show proof, too, or it didn't count. I think the other girls are really disappointed in considering letting it continue anyway. The ones who drew your name are all pissed at me for hogging you. I'm not sure they're ready to give up." I hissed angrily, turning away from him so he wouldn't see how much it bothered me. He wrapped his arms around me and pressed his lips to my neck, trailing light kisses down and across my shoulder. "They can try. It won't work.
Wait. How exactly does one prove something like that anyway?"
he asked curiously. I scrunched up my nose. "She brought back the used condom."
"Damn. You girls are ruthless. That's disgusting."
Chase. Chapter 13. Jenna and I fell into an easy routine, but it was never enough. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday we had classes together, all morning, and then lunch together afterwards. Friends almost always joined us. On Tuesdays and Thursdays we met in the library for study time. The problem was, as others heard of our study groups, more and more people began joining us until we were actually studying. I felt terrible about it too. The initial guise was that Jenna was tutoring me in calculus. Only Matt and Anita knew the truth about that. And as partners in two classes, we tried to dissuade others from joining us. But someone always seemed to tag along. Saturdays were hit or miss. Sometimes we'd see each other at a party. Sometimes we could carve out a few hours in the morning or around lunch to sneak away, just the two of us. But my brothers and her sisters often kept us busy with expectations on the weekends. So we didn't always get that time in either. I would never dare go to her sorority house. That was opening a can of worms we weren't ready to address. She was always welcome at my house, but my brothers treated her like one of the guys. They always fought over who would partner up with her for video games, and I felt like I was in constant competition with each of them. Finally, Sunday would come around. We had our room on constant reserve at the library, but without a lock on the door, it was never the best place to be alone. We did somehow manage to keep that time somewhat sacred and free of intruders. But overall, there didn't feel like there was any place on campus we could just be alone. 6 weeks had passed since I'd met my beautiful mate. I couldn't complain about how things were going, even if my wolf was unsettled and anxious for us to complete our bond. However, I selfishly just wanted some alone time with her. I wanted more than just a few stolen kisses, and I was a man used to getting my way. Maybe it was the spoiled brat syndrome of being the youngest. Maybe I was just too stubborn to hear the word no. But as I began formulating a plan, I realized it was the best thing for the both of us. It was early on a Saturday morning, and I awoke to a ringing phone. I snatched it up without even looking at it. Only one person would call me at that hour. "Good morning, beautiful," I said in a deep, sleepy voice. Well, good morning to you as well. A much too chipper voice returned. I pulled back the phone and saw my realtor's face pop up on the screen. Probably not who you expected, but two new properties just hit the market. We gotta move fast. They won't last. I groaned. Okay, give me 20. Great, I'm texting you the first address now. I got up and took a quick shower, shaved and dressed in record time. I grabbed my coat and was out the door before anyone else in the house even stirred. It didn't take long to drive over to the address she sent. This better be good, Colette, for you to drag me out this early on a weekend, I grumped as I opened my car door to find her already waiting. We can go right up, she said, handing me a cup of coffee. I took a deep sip, surprised to find it exactly the way I liked it. It had been 2 weeks since I had gotten the brilliant idea to buy my own place off campus. I hadn't told Jenna, and it was getting exceedingly difficult to keep it to myself. My thoughts were that if we had our own place, we could finally get some time alone. When I had confided my plan to Kyle, he had laughed. That seems pretty extreme for a little booty action, he had said, and I growled and threatened to come through the phone and rip his throat out. It was a good thing he was my brother and only laughed harder. As my alpha, if I had been anyone else making such threats, I'd be lucky to still be alive. We had ended the call with a reminder. Mom never said there was anything sane about a mating male. It was true. Kyle, Patrick, and Liam had all had their fair amount of insanity during their mating periods, and they didn't have half the battles Jenna and I were facing. Colette led me up to the fourth floor of a high-rise apartment building. It was small and tight inside, and my wolf was uncomfortable. Still, it had all the basics, and it was literally the first place available in weeks. I had no doubt, if I waited until May to buy, I'd have my pick of anything. But I didn't want to wait that long. Archibald Reynolds wasn't the only college in the area, so housing was limited. No, I said sadly. It makes me feel claustrophobic in here. Colette smiled. I knew you'd say that, but I'm not sure another rental will come available before May. I groaned in frustration. But she got my attention. I liked but in this case. How do you feel about buying? I hadn't really considered that as an option. Now, she continued, just hear me out. There's a hunting cabin nearby. It's only 5 minutes from the campus's main gate. It's secluded with an open floor plan and 5 bedrooms. I realize that's way more than you need, but your mortgage would still be in the range we discussed. First floor has everything you're looking for, just with an added second level. Okay, I hadn't really thought about buying, but I like the sound of the place. Let's take a look. She led the way back downstairs to the cars, and I followed her the short distance to the next place. When she turned off the main road onto a hidden driveway, my interest increased tenfold. We drove another quarter of a mile before it opened to a clearing where a log cabin sat. I felt an overwhelming sense of calm and knew this was going to be my first home. I didn't even care how much it would cost me. There was a swing on the front porch where I could already see myself with a cup of hot coffee, a blanket, and my mate tucked into my side. It's perfect, I said. Colette laughed. Would you like to at least look inside first? Yeah, okay. How many acres does it come with? 3 acres just for the house, then there's another parcel of 30 acres they're selling off the back. But you'll have about half an acre buffer from the back of the house to the property line, she explained. How much for all of it? Her eyes rounded in curiosity. $250,000. Just the cabin is only $147,000, which is a steal. Owner died and his grandkids just want money fast. Great, offer them $225,000 cash for both lots, I said. Cash? And sight unseen? You don't want to even see the inside? She asked. Oh, yeah, well, we can look, but I'm going to have this place, I assured her. Inside was even better than I imagined. It was a little musty smelling, like it had been closed up for a long time, but it had a big open floor plan, a loft that would make the perfect study area, and 2 bedrooms on each side. Another large master bedroom was on the main level. I knew Jenna was going to love the master bath with the large soaking tub. The kitchen had a nice island I could see us eating breakfast at, and everything we would need conveyed, even a washer and dryer. It was perfect. "Make the offer," I told Colette. She whipped out her phone and got down to business before I could change my mind. It might have seemed like an impulse buy to her, and maybe it was, but I knew I wouldn't regret it and couldn't wait to surprise Jenna. The owners accepted the offer on the spot. Since it was a cash transaction, closing was scheduled for 15 days later. I could hardly wait to tell Jenna, but I was determined to keep it a surprise. 2 more weeks dragged on, and Jenna showed signs of equal frustration since we had not had a single moment alone. It weighed heavily on both of us, but I knew it would be coming to an end soon. Colette dropped off my new keys the day before closing. The money was already secured in escrow, and closing was essentially a done deal. The last of the stuff the owners wanted has been removed from the property. "Anything remaining conveys to you," she informed me. "Can I get in tonight, even though closing isn't until tomorrow?" "Yes, it's all yours. Tomorrow's just a formality of signing the paperwork, since it's a cash transaction." We said goodbye, and I thanked her profusely, staring down at my house key in disbelief. It was Wednesday morning, and I was late for class. Worry hit me as I entered the room, only it wasn't coming from me. I should have sat in the back, sneaking in as inconspicuously as possible. But Jenna needed me. I made my way down to the front as the professor's back was to us as he worked a problem on the whiteboard. I was already sitting in my usual seat next to my mate when the professor turned around. He simply nodded my way and kept teaching. Getting through the next 2 classes was going to be hell. I was so excited to take Jenna home, our first home together. She wrote something on a piece of paper and then slid it over to me that asked, "Are you okay?" I wrote back, "Never better," and added a little smiley face, then slid the paper back to her. Anita was watching us closely, so I ignored further attempts at interrogation. When the class finally ended, I headed out and Jenna ran to keep up. "What is with you today?" she demanded. "First you're late to class, now you're ditching me?" My eyes widened as I turned to her. I wanted desperately to pull her into my arms, but I saw Anita walk out of the class and look curiously in our direction. "Just keep walking," I told her. I made no attempt to reach out to her as I wanted. I didn't even talk to her again until we were in our class. Then I turned to her. "I'm so sorry. Anita's been hinting to Matt that she thinks something's going on with us. I didn't think you wanted even her to know." "That's why you were late this morning?" "No, I'll tell you all about that at lunch," I assured her. "But that's why I was trying to rush out of our last class and not linger. I didn't mean to make you feel it was because of you." She relaxed visibly. "My afternoon class canceled today. Maybe we could actually get away for a little bit today." I grinned from ear to ear. My mate was missing time alone with me too. Though little did she know, I had already solved that problem. Now I just had to wait and count down the seconds until our classes ended. Of course, that meant they both dragged on for what seemed like forever. With 5 minutes left in our photography class, the lights dimmed as the professor showed us pictures from the Renaissance period. I checked the time on my phone one last time. There were 5 minutes left in class. I grabbed up my things and headed out, sending a text to Jenna as I did. I heard her phone ding and chanced to look back at the confusion on her face when she answered it before leaving the room and then sprinted across the campus. "Chase, faculty parking lot at the back, as soon as class ends." Jenna sent back a thumbs-up emoji. By the time she arrived, I had made it across campus, picked up my Jeep, and was waiting. She came out and looked around, standing on her tiptoes and straining in search of me. I honked the horn and waved her over. "Whose Jeep is this?" she asked as she slid into the passenger seat. "Mine," I told her. "You've had a car this whole time? Why are we just now using it?" I really hadn't thought about that previously. There were many places off campus we could have gone to get away. I shrugged guiltily. Sorry, until now I just didn't think about it. Why were you late this morning? I was worried. I waited until we were off campus and stopped at a red light to pull her towards me and steal a kiss. I love that you worry about me, and if you can just be patient, I'm going to show you why. Okay, okay. I'm not really good at surprises, though, just so you know. Now you tell me, I asked incredulously. We drove in silence, and she felt nervous. I wasn't used to her being nervous around me, not since the early days of our mating. I hadn't felt it like this then, though. It was a sign our bond was strengthening. I pulled off the road a short time later and down the long drive. Our drive, I thought. I could see the confusion on Jenna's face as I pulled up to the log cabin. What's going on, Chase? She asked. I got out and walked around to get her car door. I pulled her up by the hand and squeezed it reassuringly. Come on, I'll show you. We walked to the front porch and I opened the door, then scooped her up in my arms and carried her inside. She giggled and punched me until I let her down. What is this place? She asked. Well, first, what do you think of it? Huh? It's amazing. Look at it. Needs a little cleanup and some new furniture, but it's great. Where are we? Home, I said simply, wrapping my arms around her waist and pulling her back against me. Our first home. We close on it tomorrow, but since the money's already in escrow, they gave me the keys a day early. Our home? She asked slowly, her face flushed. She turned to look at me to make sure I was serious. If you really don't like it, I'll put it back on the market tomorrow after closing and we can keep looking. Not like it? Are you kidding? Look at this place. She wandered around, checking out each of the rooms, then the backyard. It's huge. Why do we need so much space? I shrugged. I liked the solitude. I'm tired of sharing you and worrying about getting caught all the time. We can just be together. Be ourselves, here. You bought me a house just to spend time alone together? I nodded. Yeah, basically. Chase, that's insane. How can you even afford this place? We're in college. I looked at her oddly. I hadn't considered that we had never really spoken about our finances. It felt like we talked about everything. Have a seat, I told her, pointing to one of the rocking chairs that had been left on the back deck. I took the one closest to her. How much do you know about wolf packs? She shook her head. Not much. I mean, I know you tend to live in groups, and instead of a king, you have an alpha. I think that's right, at least. That's true. Weston Pack is one of the largest packs in the world. My however many greats grandfathers started the Weston Foundation as a way to fund our pack. It deals with a lot of charities and investments. It sets us apart from other packs. We were civilized earlier. We carry no debt. Everything in San Marco, where I'm from, is a front or hobby for the town itself. The foundation pays a monthly stipend to all wolves in the pack equally. It starts when your wolf surfaces. For me, I was 16. I was an early shifter, I told her proudly. She rolled her eyes. Why am I not surprised? I laughed. Basically, that means I've been accumulating money for the last 4 years and just banking it in savings and personal investments. I've never really touched it till now. Don't worry, though. This place is only about 3 months of earnings. I let that sink in for a minute. You're, like, rich? Like, really rich? I don't know what your pack or family or whatever you call it is like. But with me, Princess, you will never want for anything. I have more than enough for the both of us. And when we are bonded, you will become a full pack member and receive your own monthly allowance from the foundation. She snorted as she laughed. Chase, I'm a panther. I'll never be pack. They won't just turn over all that money to me. It's a sweet thought, but let's be real here. They will, actually. My bonded mate will be accepted into the pack, period. It doesn't matter what you are. I begged her to understand that.
That's a nice thought, but I live in the real world. Cats and dogs, they don't mix.
Are you saying we don't mix? Are you saying we're not right for each other because my animal spirit happens to be a canine and yours is a beautiful feline? I let my fingertips drift lightly up her arm and watched in satisfaction as a shudder racked her body. I let that sink in and changed subjects abruptly on her. What are your plans for spring break?
What?
She asked, sounding a little dazed, and I knew it was from my touch.
Oh, the sisters are heading to Cabo for spring break.
And you? I asked.
I'm expected to go with them, she admitted.
Can you get out of it?
I don't know, to be honest.
Will you try?
I'd really love to take you home with me for spring break.
You can meet my family and my pack and see how it goes.
Tears welled up in her eyes. Chase, you don't understand. Even if your family and pack open their hearts to take me in, Daddy would never allow it. My family will never accept you.
I pulled her over to my lap and held her while she cried. I honestly hadn't thought about that. I could give a shit if her father accepted me. I could easily provide for the both of us, and if he was that insistent, we didn't need him in our life. But I hadn't considered how that would affect Jenna.
Shit, I'm sorry, I said, stroking her hair and toying with the ends.
I've been so busy working out things on my end to ensure you had everything you could need or want, I hadn't stopped to think that would include your family.
He'll disown me, Chase. Panthers aren't like your kind. We're okay alone. Being banned isn't as devastating a thought as you'd think, but still. He's my father. He won't let me see or talk to Tessa and Mother once this gets out. I'm not saying he's a complete tyrant. He's a very good man and a strong leader. But he's very elitist and insistent that we protect the purity of our breed.
What do you want, Jenna? I asked, knowing I'd do whatever it took to give her what she wanted or needed most. If that was her family, it would hurt like hell, but I'd back off and give her that. She shivered, so I got up and led her back into the house. We sat on the leather couch that had been left. The cabin was mostly furnished. The few things the owners had taken seemed to be artwork and personal items instead of the big stuff. She seemed to be deep in thought, so I stayed quiet. She rubbed her hands down her pants. It was another nervous tick I had noticed. The confusion and frustration on her face seemed to disappear, and I could see her resolve strengthen. I wasn't sure I really wanted to hear the outcome. Jenna reached over and took my large hands in her small ones, and when she focused those beautiful, exotic eyes on me, I felt more vulnerable than I ever had in my life.
Chase, she started, and I had found I was holding my breath in anticipation. My entire life, I've known what was expected of me and what would happen should I find my one true mate was anything but a Black Panther. Meeting you has been more than I could ever have imagined. I don't care what you are. I care who you are. And I know you, Chase Weston. You're a good man with strong family values. You are protective of those you care about and you let your heart guide you. Your positive outlook makes me want to believe everything you paint of a future together. But we don't come from the same places. I don't trust everything will just be okay. And I know I can't have everything I want in life. That brings me to a crossroad. It's the biggest decision of my life, and I've been sick to my stomach for weeks over it.
I squeezed her hands to encourage her to continue. This woman held my future in the palm of her hands. Wolves were different than other shifters in many ways. One of those was our fierce allegiance. I had given my heart to Jenna, and it could never be occupied by anyone else. I didn't want to put that added pressure on her decision. It had to be hers alone to make. If she chose not to accept me, I knew she would go on and find a compatible mate and live a happy life.
If that was best for her, I could live with that. But I also knew my life would always be hollow without her. I would never take another mate. It was her or nothing for me. A tear slid down her cheek and I reached to wipe it away. I wanted so badly to fix everything and tell her it was all going to work out. But I couldn't know that with certainty, and it wouldn't be right to give her false hope. If she chose me, I would do everything in my power to make her life happy, filled with laughter and love. But that's all I could promise her. My family was everything to me. I didn't know what decision I'd make if I were in her shoes. In the moment, I'd say I'd always pick Jenna over anyone, that my true mate was more valuable to me than anything or anyone else. But I didn't have to truly make that decision. Even if my family wasn't happy about it or couldn't understand it, they'd still love me, unconditionally. I know what I'm supposed to do, Chase. But I can't. My eyes stared deep into hers. Was she saying what I thought she was saying? Her spine straightened, and she raised her chin in defiance. I never expected to meet my true mate. There aren't a lot of male Black Panthers, so the odds of finding one and being my true mate was low. I always figured if I met him, he'd be a jaguar. Maybe a puma. Something compatible, but still unacceptable. Daddy kept us sheltered to avoid situations like this. Maybe he was right. My heart plummeted. She was going to break our bond. I couldn't speak and vowed to stay and hear every heart-wrenching word first. I already knew I would never return to this cabin as it would hurt too much. I looked away, unable to fully meet her eyes any longer. Maybe he was right to shelter us in order to preserve our breed, because meeting my true mate... She paused, and her small hand caressed my cheek until I stared back into her eyes. Meeting you, I know without a doubt or hesitation that I could never settle for anyone less. My mouth dropped open as my heart soared. I let out the breath I was still holding. The anguish I had felt only a moment earlier melted away like the snow on a warm day. I love you, Chase Weston. And I don't have a freaking clue how this is going to work. But I'm all in. I'm yours, and can never be anyone else's. My lips were on her with a possessive growl. She roared in response, and my entire body lit with pure need. I was a little surprised to feel my canines elongate. Breathless, I pulled back and smiled, showing her exactly what she was doing to me. She grinned widely, proudly, showing me her fangs for the first time. She repositioned so she was straddling my lap. I knew I was already rock hard, and there was no way she didn't know it too. When she tilted her head and brushed her hair back to expose her neck to me, I could barely control my breathing and excitement. I wanted her so badly. You're certain? There's no turning back after this, I reminded her. She gave me a wicked grin. I'm yours, so claim me already, in every way possible. I growled and sunk my teeth into the smooth ivory column of her neck. It was quickly followed by a pinch on mine as she bit into me. For one brief moment, a calm I never knew existed washed over me. And then came the frenzy.
Jenna, Chapter 14. Of course I'd been told about the bonding process, but I hadn't expected it to feel that way. I thought it would hurt. It hadn't. I thought the taste of his blood would make me gag, but it had quite the opposite effect. As my fangs began to retract, I was a little disappointed. That one perfect moment seemed to end much too quickly. I looked at the spot I'd just left on Chase's neck, watching it seal shut. The mark of our bond. I kissed the spot and felt his entire body tremble. When I pulled back to look at him, a shyness set in, and I couldn't fully meet his eyes. Bonding was far more intimate than sex, or so I had heard. I was still a virgin, so I had nothing to compare it to. The warmth and completeness we just shared was overwhelming me. My body was on fire with this sort of buzzing sensation I didn't recognize. Was that normal? Did he feel it too? I finally made myself meet his eyes, and what I saw there took my breath away. His pupils were dilated, and there was something wild about them. I could feel his wolf in a new way, and he was close to the surface. It called to my panther. I wasn't aware of how heightened my senses were until Chase's hand brushed up my thighs, where I still straddled his lap. His fingers left a trail of heat behind, and I shivered at his touch. Desire welled up deep within me, as a growing warmth spread out from the pit of my stomach. I leaned down and kissed him, watching him watch me closely. I knew he was waiting to see what I'd do. My handsome mate looked so incredibly sexy with his unabashed wild expression in his eyes. Mine didn't leave his until they closed of their own accord as our lips touched. I moaned as I opened myself to him. Chase Weston was a man who knew how to kiss. As my lips parted, his tongue began a sensual dance with mine, as if we both knew all the right movements to please the other. A possessive growl reverberated through his entire body, igniting a fire deep within me. With a feverish frenzy, I began removing my own clothes, breaking our kiss to pull my shirt over my head as he watched. Next to go was his shirt, as our clothes were thrown without care throughout the room. I didn't stop until we were both gloriously naked, and I rose and stood before him, letting my eyes roam over every inch of his body with open curiosity. I saw his manhood twitch under my scrutiny, and it gave me more confidence than I ever knew existed. "You are so beautiful," he said reverently. "Come here." He pulled me back down onto his lap. The sensations of my soft, sensitive skin brushing against the hard planes of his body was almost more stimulation than I could handle. My senses were going into overdrive, but something wild and untamed within me was aching to burst free. It wasn't the first time Chase and I had shared an intimate moment. I knew what he could do with those hands, but it had in no way prepared me for what that man could do with his mouth. My head was spinning, and bright lights flashed behind my eyelids. I cried out his name as he brought me to the peak of ecstasy. He was grinning in satisfaction as he kissed his way back up my body, slowing the pace with gentle, sweet kisses across my cheeks, nose, and finally my mouth. I sighed into him, feeling elated and relaxed as my convulsing body began to still. "Living room officially christened," he said. With quick reflexes, Chase was off the couch faster than I knew possible. The cool air against my abandoned skin barely had time to register before he scooped me up and carried me to the only closed door in the room. Balancing me against the doorframe, he freed a hand and turned the knob, kicking the door open as we proceeded forward. "Wow," I said in surprise. A beautiful king-sized log bed filled much of the room. "Do you like it?" he asked, sounding a little nervous. "It's gorgeous," I told him honestly. But the thought of sleeping in someone else's bed was like tossing cold water on the fire within me. Guessing the source of my distress, Chase said, "I wanted to pick everything out together, but I really wanted a bed for us. Don't worry, it's brand new. My realtor oversaw the delivery this morning." He really had thought of everything. Carefully, he lowered me to the bed, and I knew I would have a tough time ever leaving it. The mattress was firm yet so very soft, almost like laying on a cloud. I had never seen such a luxurious bed before. I moaned in satisfaction as I stretched out, testing it. Chase gulped hard, but smiled so big his dimples popped out. I sat up and tugged him towards me. Since the first time I had seen those dimples, I'd had an irrational desire to taste and explore them. My tongue delved into the crevices, first on one cheek, then the next, as I kissed my way between them. On my second pass, he nipped at my lips, causing me to giggle in delight. He joined in with his own playful explorations, and soon the fire that was still simmering within began to ignite once again. Our carefree caresses soon had us both panting. I reached for him, feeling his manhood for the first time as his eyes rolled back, and he groaned in pleasure. He didn't let me explore long, even as my confidence continued to grow. Soon I found myself pinned beneath him, as he positioned himself between my legs. My breathing was erratic, and my body burning from within. Chase leaned down and nipped, then kissed the mark he had left on my body that signaled to all that I was his. "Are you ready?" he whispered, pushing himself up on his arms to stare into my soul. I could only nod. I had thought the invasion of my first time would hurt. It didn't. There was a slight sting followed by a fullness that left me feeling whole, complete. I didn't need to worry or feel uncomfortable around Chase. He was patient and gentle, but mostly my body instinctively knew what to do, and soon was matching his rhythm until a sort of convulsion took over me. "Chase!" I screamed out, feeling myself so close to the edge. "Jenna!" he growled, and that was all it took to push me over. He joined me soon, as his weighted body collapsed on mine and jerked violently through his own release. Still huffing hard and trying to catch my breath, he rolled off me and disappeared through one of the doors in the room, returning shortly with a warm washcloth that he used to clean me up. I saw a small amount of blood on the rag when he pulled it back and quickly looked down. It wasn't as bad as I had imagined. I should have felt embarrassed, but I didn't. He already knew I was a virgin, and I only bled a little. But the fact that he even thought to care for me in that way made my heart overflow with love. "I love you, Chase," I whispered, and his hand stilled as his eyes flew up to search mine. He gave me the sexiest smirk I'd ever seen. "I love you too, Jenna." He followed up those beloved words with a heart-melting kiss. "You are mine. Always. Whatever happens, whatever life throws our way, we're in it together from now on." His warm hand on my face gently brushed a tear from my cheek. "Mine," he growled before giving me one more unforgettable kiss. He took his cleanup efforts back to the bathroom and pulled down the covers when he returned. I slid beneath them, crisp and cool, but only for the brief moment it took Chase to join me. Then they instantly warmed. He pulled me to him, rolling me towards him so that my head rested on his chest. We didn't speak. His hand lightly rubbed my back and my eyes became heavy, and I began to purr softly. Contentment soon lulled me into a deep sleep. My next coherent memory was of Chase's hands on my breast. I took a deep breath and smelled that unique scent that was only Chase before any fear could possibly set in. It brought me such comfort. He smelled like home to me. Like safety. Like all things good. Like the promise of our future. All the memories of the day before came rushing back to me. I hesitated a moment to let them sink in. Was I scared? Was I upset? Had I done the right thing? No. No. Yes. I was consumed by love for my mate. "You were nearly impossible to wake," he protested, as his hot breath tormented my hard nipples before taking one into his mouth. I moaned as I opened my eyes to complete darkness. "What time is it?" I asked sleepily, feeling the new sensations of arousal flame within me. "Who cares?" Chase said in a deep, husky voice that caused goosebumps to break out all over me. "I need you. Mine," he growled. "Yours," I confirmed, sleepily, though my body was waking up faster than my foggy, now lust-filled brain. He moved over me and peppered my chest and neck with light kisses till he reached my mouth. I growled into him as he entered me slowly and began a seductive rhythm so very different from our first time. He whispered sweet words and told me he loved me as he held me close, never changing pace until the very end. His own climax caused mine to trigger, and I had tears in my eyes as my body and breathing began to still again. It was the most beautiful moment of my life, and felt like a dream I never wanted to wake from. He tucked me close to him again, and kissed the top of my head as my exhausted body pulled me back to sleep. The next time I awoke, Chase was still asleep, but his alarm was going off on his phone. A brief moment of fear set in. It was morning, and I hadn't made it home yesterday. As soon as my sisters found out all that had happened, I was going to be kicked out anyway. Anguish filled me. It was too late to reconsider the consequences. Chase and I had sealed our bond. I waited for the panic to rise. Nothing but sheer happiness followed at the thought. It was a true sign that I had made the right decision. "Hey, sleepyhead. I thought you didn't have class till after lunch today," I said, poking him in the side. "I don't," he murmured. "Well, your alarm isn't going to turn itself off."
"My alarm?"
"Yes," I told him. He finally seemed to register the sound for himself and grabbed for it on the nightstand next to us without even opening his eyes. It shut off immediately, but he opened one eye to look at it.
"Shit,"
he said, sitting up quickly and taking the sheets with him. "Hey," I protested.
"Sorry, beautiful, but we're going to be late if we don't hurry."
Suddenly, Chase was out of the bed, fully awake, and still gloriously naked.
"I really hadn't meant to sleep all night here. Are you going to be okay in yesterday's clothes?"
He shot me a killer grin filled with mischief.
"It's not like you were in them that long."
I threw a pillow at him, laughing. "What are we late for? I don't even have classes today, my only one canceled."
"Even better. But we do have a closing to get to in an hour. Come on," he said,
tossing me over his shoulder and carried me caveman style into the bathroom. I kicked and squealed the whole way until he set me back down in front of the shower. A part of me thought I should feel embarrassed to be standing there naked in front of a man. But Chase wasn't just any man. He was my mate, and I didn't need to feel self-conscious. If anything, being naked before him had the opposite effect. I did have to pee, though. "Can you get out so I can use the bathroom?" I finally blurted out. He laughed.
"I'll get the shower started and promise not to peek. Just go already. I still have to, too."
I groaned. Okay, being naked, having sex, that was one thing. But peeing with him in the same room did feel awkward. In the end, his stubbornness won when he turned on the water and I really had to go. True to his word, he didn't peek. I asked if I could shower first, knowing my hair was going to be a hot mess. So the more time I had to try and fix it, the better. I jumped in and quickly realized we had nothing but water to wash up with. No soap, no shampoo, nothing. I let the hot water pour over me anyway. The damage of wet hair was already done. I closed my eyes and let the spray massage through my hair. When something brushed across my arm, I screamed and almost fell before strong arms wrapped around my waist to steady me. "What are you doing?" I asked Chase. "You scared the life out of me."
"Good thing you have 9 lives, then,"
he said, looking proud of himself. I rolled my eyes. "That was terrible and quite racist, you know." He just laughed.
"It'll be quicker if we shower together,"
he grinned, letting his eyes wash over me. When his head lowered towards mine, I pushed him away, laughing. "No, we don't have time for that. And we have nothing here, not even a bar of soap to wash with." His grinning face frowned.
"Sorry, I forgot. Here, let me wash you up,"
he said, smirking and holding up a clean washcloth. "I can handle it myself. We'll never get out of here if you start touching me." He looked torn on that decision. I agreed that the thought of hot shower sex appealed to me, too, and then I burst out laughing at the thought. Who was I? Just 24 hours earlier, I probably would have died of embarrassment at just that thought.
What's so funny? He demanded.
Nothing. Just wash up.